Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
31 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Bettesworth, McBride, Copen, and Zaroff are excused from the call of the House today. Representative Lindauer, M.W. Miller, and Euling are excused until plain time. However, I note the presence on the floor of Representative Copen, Lindauer, M.W. Miller, and Euling.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Rebecca McKennett, representative of the Baha'i Faith.
O my God, unite the hearts of thy servants and reveal to them thy great purpose. May they follow thy commandments and abide in thy law. Help them, O God, in their endeavor and grant them strength to serve thee. O God, lead them not to themselves, but guide their steps by light of knowledge and cheer their hearts by thy love. Verily thou art their helper and their Lord.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 96th, 97th, and 98th legislative day, corrected House Supplement Number 126, House Supplement Number 127, and House Supplement Number 128.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 96th, 97th, and 98th days, corrected House Supplement 126, House Supplement Numbers 127 and 128.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 96th, 97th, 98th legislative days, corrected Journal Supplement Number 126, and Journal Supplement Number 127 and 128 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to object only for a little while. With your permission, I'd like to ask the Majority Leader to hold off that motion until unfinished business when Representative Clarkson will have... I haven't talked to him. I presume that Journal 126 meets his satisfaction, but I haven't actually asked him about it, and he's not on the floor right this moment, so if it's...
Why don't we just stand at ease until he shows up? House, okay. Please stand at ease.
Yeah.
Miller.
Speaker, I remove objection to the approval of the supplement and the journal.
Without objection, the motion is adopted. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Hayes, pursuant to applicable law, I submit the following name for legislative confirmation of appointment to the position noted. Roger Endell, Commissioner, Department of Corrections. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor.
Refer the appointment to the judiciary for their review.
I have no further communications from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Captain Stan Schaefer by Senators Kurtula, Eliason, and Mulcahy. And in memoriam Ralph Neuheisen by Senators Ferguson, Kurtula, Moss, Mulcahy, Sackett, and Rohde. Representatives Adams, Cato, Davis, Duncan, Fuller, Gall, Grusendorf, Herman, Hurlburt, McBride, Schultz, Vasca, Wente, Jaroff, Clarkson, and Kopanen.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to bring this up as a special order of business, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is before us as a special order of business. Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation in memoriam Ralph Neuheisen.
Representative Adams.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the memorandum be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Standing Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individual who has been nominated by the governor to serve on the Board of Nursing Home Administrators, Ms. Eloise Dieter of Anchorage. Members of the committee have signed below indicating their individual recommendations as to the final disposition of this individual's confirmation. Signing no recommendation, Tischer, and signing do confirm, Pestinger, Euling, Gall, and Davis. Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Standing Committee on HES has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individuals who have been nominated by the Governor to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission: Mr. Spike Jorgensen of Tok, Mr. Perry Adkison of Dillingham, Mrs. Darlene Trent of Anchorage, Mrs. Margaret Van Fleen of Fairbanks, Mr. James Tom Nelson of Anchorage, and Mrs. Karen Reels of Juneau. Members of the committee have signed below indicating their individual recommendations as to the disposition of these individuals' confirmations. Members recommending to confirm: Tischer, Pestinger, Martin, and Davis. I have no further reports of standing committees, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Alaska Elks Lodge No. 420 by Representative Cato. Citation honoring Lutheran Eskimo Missions by Representatives Fuller, M.M. Miller, Adams, and Hayes, and Senator Ferguson. Citation honoring Little Norway Festival by Representatives Wente, McBride, and Senator Ziegler. House Resolution No. 15 by the Labor and Commerce Committee. Requesting the Governor to designate 1984 as Year of the Secretary.
House Resolution 15 is referred to the Rules Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 453 by Ziegler and Ray by request. An act relating to the Commission on Judicial Conduct and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 453 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453 Judiciary with the same title and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Hayes, Liska, and Bussell. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving on to unanimous consent, the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. The clerk does have amendments. Will the clerk please read the First Amendment, Representative Schultz?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I missed the introduction of guests, and I was wondering if we could move up to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to you, standing in the back here, a RSVP student from Glen Allen. Her name is Jenny Zajac, and she's going to be working on the floor for the next couple of days. She's editor of the yearbook in Glen Allen. She's also vice president of the student council, and she is a member of the National Honor Society. Would you help me welcome Jenny Zajac?
Clerk, please read the First Amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Liska. Page 4, line 4, delete and, change word may to must.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The problem is possibly using the wrong word on it. Should be shall instead of must. However,
move the amendment, please.
I beg your pardon?
You need to move the amendment.
Oh, yes. I moved the amendment, and that's unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Liska.
Studying this particular piece of legislation, I feel that we're using too many mays, and when we use too many mays, we're not directing what we want. Now, in this particular amendment, the way it reads, if the judge refuses to submit to the examination, the commission may determine. Now, what I think the way that should read that the commission shall determine that to really look at this issue real close. So there's quite a bit of difference between the word may and shall. I mean, if they don't want to do it, they just won't do it. But if they're directed to, then they will do it. So that's the reason for the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
For further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I understand the amendment correctly, it would require the commission to determine an issue adversely if the judge refuses to submit to a physical or mental examination, whatever the issue was at stake, that they would then be required to determine that issue in a manner adverse to the judge, and that might not be the rational thing to do. The judge might say, well, look, I don't think that I should have to submit to that. Here are the reasons why. The reasons on their face are convincing, but the law would require the commission to say, too bad. So I think that the amendment wouldn't help the legislation. I would still oppose it.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Cato? Representative Cato, from no to yes. Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 10 nays.
Amendment number 1 has been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Clarkson. It starts page 3, lines 26, 28, and 29. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment would restore language that was in the original Senate bill when it came to the body. For background, as you probably know, the Judicial Misconduct or Judicial Conduct Commission investigates allegations of judicial conduct and imposes penalties. The Judicial Council reviews the conduct of a judicial officer for purposes of recommendation of retention or non-retention at the regularly recurring retention elections that occur, that the public has a chance to vote on. The effect of this amendment, Mr. Speaker, would be to allow the Judicial Council access to information regarding the fact that a judge had been somehow penalized by the Judicial Conduct Commission. I think the information is important. Obviously, the other body thought it was important, Mr. Speaker, particularly in two situations. If you read the section, I guess it's section 4 of the bill, the one that expands the authority to impose penalties, it allows the Judicial Conduct Commission to impose a private reprimand or a private admonishment. The difference basically is in how serious the conduct is. But the point is that information is not available to the public. More serious penalties are released to the public, such as public reprimand or some other more serious penalty. But the point is that there are some penalties imposed by the Judicial Conduct Commission which are not made available to the public, admonishments and reprimands. This information should be made available to the Judicial Council so that it can evaluate the performance of that judge for purposes of retention or non-retention of that judge. It is the sharing of private information between two bodies that have similar responsibility with regard to the quality of the judges that we have in Alaska. The amendment clearly requires the Judicial Council to keep it confidential, but to use it as a part of its investigation. Again, this is identical language to that was in the Senate bill when it came over to this body, and I'm just seeking that it be reinstated to give that power to the Judicial Council.
Representative Bustle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise to speak against the amendment. I believe the Alaska Judicial Council has a job to do, and in their deliberations, whatever decision they reach has to be based on whatever information they can acquire or bring before it to distribute to the public to aid in their choice of deciding to retain or reject a judge. And by the same token, The Commission on Judicial Conduct, too, has a job to do, and it's set out, and it has its board and its members to reach the decision that it reaches as a result of its investigation. If it decides that a judge is to be privately or silently reprimanded. I think that that information should remain always as it was intended to remain within the Commission of Judicial Conduct. I don't think it should be used by another body as information after they've reached their decision based on it. I think both of these people are completely separate and distinct bodies, and if the legislature wants to have one body do everything, we should abolish one and only have one commission. As long as we have two, they ought to operate completely and totally independent of each other. And I urge the body to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, let me give you an example of what could happen if this amendment is not adopted. There could be a complaint filed with the Judicial Conduct Commission with regard to a judge. There could be a determination that that judge, in fact, is violating, for example, the canons of ethics or whatever, and a determination was made to reprimand that judge privately, let's say for conduct unbecoming a judge on the bench or in being involved in activities which are extra-legal somehow. So the decision has been made by a constitutionally created body, the Judicial Conduct Commission, that that person has violated one of the canons of judicial ethics and should be privately admonished for it. Mr. Speaker, that information is relevant to a decision about whether that judge ought to be reelected. And it should be provided to the Judicial Council. The Judicial Council is not going to just pass the information on and say he was privately admonished, but it will be considered by the Judicial Council in deciding whether they're going to recommend retention or not. If you want ethical judges, and if you want an effective review system for reviewing the quality of the judges we have, you will allow those two organizations to share the information. It's in the interest of the public that we ferret out the bad judges and get rid of them. And that's the public vote will do that, but only if the information is available.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's another aspect, and that is the feeling I get from the people of my district and even people from throughout the state that communicate on this issue, although not this specific issue. I think they want to know, they want as close a scrutiny and have the most information available for consideration of evaluation of judges. I think those of us who on this floor talk about toughening the laws and then try and pawn it off on the judges, at the same time then turn around and try and protect certain information on the that is of consideration for retention of those judges, are talking out of both sides of our mouth. And I think it's important that we provide the most information available and that those recommendations that are made by the commission are based on all the information that is available on the performance of that member of the judiciary while he is serving in that post. And I would hope that those of us that might lay things off on judges and talk only about how the tough laws we have would not then try and protect information on the performance of those judges from being used in recommendations that are made to the public.
Representative Wendt, excuse me, Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me try to once again clearly state what I mean. No one is trying to withhold any information that should be brought to the public as a result of any investigation. But as long as we give the Commission on Judicial Conduct the right to hold these a closed hearing and decide whether a judge is or is not guilty of a charge brought against him and decides not to make that charge public as a result of that hearing, as long as we even have a Commission on Judicial Conduct doing its job, then we have no business allowing the results of that closed hearing. If they decide to admonish a judge in private, we have no business at all making that information available to another group who may, with all good intentions, Mr. Speaker, make a wrong statement to the public as a result of what happened in a Commission on Judicial Conduct hearing. Once again, I urge the body to vote no on this. Let's protect and keep both commissions operating as they should.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure I fully understand the concern of the previous speaker, although I'm sure it's a legitimate concern, but it seems to me that there is no public disclosure or public ridicule problem here at all. In fact, we have two commissions, if you will. Both of them have certain rules of confidentiality, and it states right here very specifically that the information disclosed to the Alaska Judicial Council would be maintained confidentially. It would seem to me that if we empower the Judicial Council to make recommendations regarding retention of judges, it's only appropriate that they have access to full information. I believe confidentiality is protected, and the people's need to have a well-informed opinion by the Judicial Council is also protected, and it seems like a very productive amendment to me.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It just seems to me that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The legislature, and under the new ethics or whatever we wish to call it, I don't think it enjoys the same privilege. And I wonder why we've got to do the same thing with the judiciary. I think if we're going to do this thing, it should be all equal. Treated equally as far as the press is concerned, the disclosures, etc.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I believe that if an unfounded charge is brought against a legislator under the provisions of the ethics bill, that those unfounded charges would not become public, only those charges that were found to be true and correct. I believe that that's exactly what has been done in this bill, that unfounded charges against a judge would not be made public.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
16 yeas, 21 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Representative Clarkson. Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have some visitors from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Bob and Kathy Haynes.
Representative Cowdery.
Yes, also in Gallery A, a good friend of many of ours and a personal friend of mine, active in the mining industry, Mark Anthony from Anchorage.
Clerk, have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453, Judiciary, amended by the House by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Commission on Judicial Conduct and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453, amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent. The roll call vote on passage House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 453, Judiciary, amended House, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 605 by Mr. Ward, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $100 million for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing a public facility to house the legislature and other state agencies in Anchorage and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 605 under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing do pass, Abood, Ward, Cowdery, and Larson. Locker signed do not bond, take pork. M.M. Miller signed do not pass. Schultz signed no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 605 under consideration and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Ward, Martin, and Hurlburt. Having no recommendation, Adams, Bettesworth, Lindauer, and Fritz, signing do not pass, Grusendorf, Duncan, and Jaroff. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan?
May we have an ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. We have House Bills 605 before us in second reading. Does the clerk have amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 605 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place on final.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 605 by Ward. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $100 million for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing a public facility to house the legislature and other state agencies in Anchorage and providing for an effective date.
To debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 605 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
21 yeas, 14 nays.
House Bill 605 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote. I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the effective date clause for House Bill 605 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
23 yeas, 13 nays.
The effective date clause for House Bill 605 has not been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 605. Mr. Speaker, in reflecting and looking on the bill itself, as you know, I've conducted or been a participant in many hearings throughout the state of Alaska, and I'm concerned about a few technical provisions within it, and I'll be preparing potentially an amendment for consideration and the bills brought back up. Thank you.
Representative Szymanski served notice of reconsideration for his vote on House Bill 605.
Citation in memoriam, Willie Sanungatuk, by Representatives Fuller and Kopanen and Senator Ferguson.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to deal with a couple of bills in the limbo file today. The first one is HCR 52. The second one, HCS for CSSSB 438, Labor and Commerce. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concurring the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution 52, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 52, Labor and Commerce, and recommend the members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the resolution?
Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 52, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, relating to the poor economic condition of Alaska coastal communities.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Gall?
I'd like the differences stated, please.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Beginning on page 1, line 12, it deletes a paragraph which reads, whereas these problems are often accentuated by the state's lack of understanding and involvement in coastal needs, and this is the only paragraph of the resolution which places part of the blame for the condition of coastal communities on the state rather than on the general economic conditions.
Are you ready for the question? Question is,
Shall the House concur in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 52, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Cadre? Clerk, please open the roll. You vote, Representative Cadre? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 52, Labor and Commerce. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House recede from its amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce, and I recommend the members vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I would encourage the members to vote to recede from the House version of this legislation and adopt the Senate version. The other body has two provisions, at least, that are not in the Senate bill, not in the House version, that I would encourage the members to support. One is the addition of a public member to the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, and the second is to require a proof of continuing competency at the time that you have to renew your certificate. Both of those provisions, I think, are inclined to make that profession more responsive to the public and to produce more better qualified architects, engineers, and surveyors.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
12 yeas, 25 nays.
The House has failed to recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce. Will the House please stand at ease? Since the House failed to recede from its amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce, this time I'm going to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee in the other body, consisting of Representative Ringstad, Chairman, Representative Euling, and Representative Szymanski. Further unfinished business? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure whether this is unfinished business or special orders, but I'll give the unfinished business a flip of the coin and call it that.
All right.
Mr. Speaker, today, as you know, and the reason it's unfinished, today is the 99th day of this sitting of the legislature. And it's been an announced priority of your caucus, the Majority Coalition Caucus, to get out of here in 120 days. Not surprisingly, that's probably about the only major issue that we're in total agreement with you on, probably for entirely different reasons. But, Mr. Speaker, we totally agree that we should adjourn this legislature in 120 days. We have worked to expedite that probability. Mr. Speaker, I have noticed that a number of people on their desks have all sorts of interesting mementos and items. I've held back from doing that from time to time, Mr. Speaker. I've never had, for instance, a Democratic donkey on my desk, although I've got one downstairs. We have choo-choo trains, and we have elephants, we have even some nice ivory around the place. But, Mr. Speaker, I've instead chosen to to ornament my desk with something more utilitarian for the benefit of the body, to sort of as a continuing calendar on where we are, Mr. Speaker. So from today on, I'd like for members to know that as a reminder, this is the 99th day. We want to get out. We all want to get out in the 120th day or before. With that in mind, I've got a little flip chart here that I'll be posting every morning, showing us what day it is. Like the top line is, this isn't a heart machine or a blood pressure thing, although it may give some people some blood pressure problems. But, Mr. Speaker, the top line up there in the smaller print is the day that it is. The bottom number is the number of days remaining for the 120th. And when we get down to the 120th, of course, we have our great goal is to reach the zero mark. And, of course, after the 120th days, we have minus ones. But hopefully we won't even have to get down to the red minus ones or minus twos or minus threes. We'll get done expeditiously. Mr. Speaker, I'll just take this opportunity to affirm to you again the desire of the minority Democrats to expedite this session in the fastest possible time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All
right. Under unfinished business, Representative Lindar.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw House Bill 63, establishing priority uses of fishery resources, and House Bill 67, an act relating to fishing and hunting.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As Chairman of the State Affairs Committee, I'd like to ask for a waiver of the five-day rule for the first public hearing on H.J.R. 76 relating to the assignment to Alaska of the Rapid Deployment Light Infantry Division, and hear the resolution in committee on Monday at 1:15 today.
Is there objection, Representative Miller?
Objection only for the point of inquiry. Was the prior Thursday notification portion of that rule met? Because that's not waivable. I have no objection to the waiver of the five-day portion, but I haven't looked it up to see if it was filed with the Chief Clerk's office at noon on Thursday. Is that? Could you advise us on that?
Representative Abood?
That is affirmative.
Okay. No objection, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Ewing?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we waive the five-day notice on HB 620 regarding the Alaska Industrial Development Authority and Site Rule 23.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further unfinished business. Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Cowdery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Labor and Commerce Committee will be meeting tomorrow at the Barron's Building at 8:15. We'll be hearing House Bill 5440 relating to claims against contractor's payment bond, and also committee substitute for Senate Bill 456 relating to embalmer and funeral director trainees.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, the House Health, Education, Social Services Committee will be meeting in Capitol Room 112 at 1:15. On the calendar is Senate Bill 519, which is state support for education, and confirmation hearings for the Board of Examiners and Optometry appointees John Dembski and Robert O'Connell. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, under announcements, not a committee, but announcement of interest to the body, in each of your members' boxes today, there's an invitation from the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship to attend the annual Governor's Prayer Breakfast, which is held, of course, every year. The prayer breakfast this morning will be this coming Thursday from 7:30 to 9 a.m. The speaker, as you'll see from your invitation, is a former colleague and friend of a good number of members on this floor, Clark Greening. It'll be, as I say, at 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the Gold Room Baranoff Hotel, and the tickets are available in the governor's office for $12 per person. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 17th, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.